Well, good morning on this official summer day. If we just could capture a little bit for our 20 below days, but we can't. I think about that for my own self and energy. If I could have captured some of my energy when I was a youth and stored it up for later, but you can't do that either. So here we are, and it is a good day to honor God our Father and praise Him and glorify Him along with His Son, Jesus. So welcome in the name of Jesus. Blessings on you for enduring the heat here. It's much cooler in the basement for the business meeting and the coffee ands. So we'll try to get down there as soon as we can. A couple of announcements. First announcement is I am God's servant. That's how I look at myself. I told the council that I am a servant. What God wants me to do, asks me to do, I work myself up to it, which means I am your servant. So if you want to call, if you want to meet with me at the office here, at your home, in a coffee shop, just let me know. I'm now at a place where I can do a little bit more visiting. So I'll be calling you and you can say yes or no. Stop over and talk with you and share the goodness of God. The other announcements. After service today, 11 o'clock, is scheduled the quarterly business meeting. We need a quorum for that, and if we don't have a quorum, we'll probably reschedule. The quorum, by the way, is 10. Next Sunday is Communion Sunday, and coming events a couple of weeks from now, our picnic. All I put in there was the gun club because I couldn't remember the name of that place. What is it?
Klein-Kupolet.
Ah. So I think we all know where that is, and hopefully that day will not be as hot as today and in the sun. Sunny day and not as hot. But we can go inside if it's raining, so that is good, and surely reserved that months ago now. So we're good to go. Would you stand with me if you like, and let's read together responsively the call to worship, an invitation to worship the Lord our God and to honor and praise His Son Jesus. I will exalt you, my God and my King. All you have made will praise you, O Lord.
Your saints will extol you.
The Lord is faithful to all His promises.
And loving toward all He has made.
The Lord upholds all those who fall.
And lifts up all who are bowed down.
The Lord is near to all who call on Him.
To all who call on Him in truth.
And turn to hymn number 3. And while we're getting ready for that, just another announcement for those that may not know. We lost our sister Judy this week. She's a loss to us, but a gain to Jesus. Hymn number 3.
Thank you.
Our great and gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you through your Son, the Son with whom you are well pleased. His name is Jesus. We honor you and worship you, Holy Father, as he has taught us to do. For you are great and marvelous, holy and supreme and sovereign. You are our righteousness, and you are justice and truth, and you are love, and you are faithfulness to your people. We worship you and praise you today with all of our brothers and sisters all around the world who praise and worship you as well. Receive our praise, receive our glory to you as sweet incense to your throne. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
The first reading today is from Psalm 14, and that will be on Pew Bible page 410, Psalm 14. And I'll be reading this section out of the New International Version. The fool says in his heart, "There is no God. They are corrupt. Their deeds are vile. There is no one who does good, not even one. The Lord looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. All have turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Will evildoers never learn? Those who devour my people as men eat bread and who do not call on the Lord? There they are, overwhelmed with dread, for God is present in the company of the righteous. The evildoers frustrate the plans of the poor, but the Lord is their refuge. Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion, when the Lord restores the fortunes of his people. Let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad." The second reading is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21, and that's found on Pew Bible page 891. As you turn there, you'll notice that the first three words of the passage are "for this reason." So whenever I see something like that, I ask myself, well, for what reason? And so my understanding is that Paul is referring to what he's talked about in chapter 2 of Ephesians. And in the first part of chapter 2, he's indicating our state before Christ. And then there's this little phrase here that I love. It says, "Among these we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of body and mind, and so we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind." Then here's the passage I love: "But God." So it wasn't going so good for us. "But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, and raised us up with him, and made us sit with him in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion." So that's the "for this reason." So again, back to chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Could I ask the ushers to usher to come forward? As I mentioned last week, the word says that we should give joyfully and cheerfully whatever the Lord has laid on your heart. Be at peace with that. He's directing you and showing you what he wants you to do. So joyfully and cheerfully give unto the Lord. Stand with me. Let's sing the doxology together. Thank you, our Father God, for the privilege that you've given to us to love and serve you. We thank you also that you take good care of us, providing for us. And so our gifts to you are from our heart, freely given with joy. Receive them as such, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you pray with me? Our Father God, we thank you for all believers all around the world. We bring them to you in prayer because you have given of your grace in Christ Jesus to them, just like you've given to us. In you, we have all been enriched in every way, in all our speech and in all our knowledge, because you confirmed the testimony about Christ in us. Therefore, because of your grace, we do not lack any spiritual gift as we eagerly wait for the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, to be revealed. We ask that you keep us strong to the end, weathering any storms that come our way, any storms that come to our nation, any storms that come to the body of Christ and true believers, even if they come from friends. Help us keep us strong to the end, so that we will be blameless on the day of our Lord. Father God, you've called us into fellowship with your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. But it is you who are the faithful one. Amen. If you would turn to 463. Like a river glorious. Thank you, Shirley. Shirley is working with keys that are sticking today. But like I was talking earlier, this too shall pass, and we'll be at 20 below sometime. I wrote in an email today that I sent out, end of July already. Summer just rushes by. I do like spring and fall. Those are my favorite times because temperature is moderate. Can get a little cool, be a little cool, but easy to put on a jacket. I am not a fan of winter at all. I would like to let everybody know that we've got handouts downstairs on the table, and if you would like to pick them up on your way out today, just speed on through. I've got two pastoral reports down there that you can peruse at your own convenience. Not going to go through them all at the meeting, but you'll learn a little bit more about me and about what I'm doing. And you might enjoy that. Also, the financial handouts are down there as well. We do that for every quarterly meeting so people can get updated. Would you pray with me? Father, today we are going to study your word, your words, as you have given them to our brother Paul, who is with you. We honor your word and your words, and we thank you that your word will go out and not return void until it accomplishes what you send it to do. And so we lay our trust in you always, thanking you through your Son who has made salvation possible, who has made eternity with you possible. We thank you for that great gift of salvation. We thank you for seeking out those who were lost because we were lost, as Bob read from the scriptures today. But you've sought us out and found us, and we are just so grateful for you. Through Jesus, amen. I have handouts inside your bulletin that I'm going to be referring to today. The reason I did this, and I mentioned, I think, last week that I've been working on this project now, I think, for about 6 weeks. The way I do messages is I begin working on them, and it takes me a while, but instead of trying to cram it all into 1 week, I work on them a little bit at a time over several weeks. It's just easier for me to do it that way. But Thursday was kind of hard because I must have edited this half a dozen times. It was I just wanted to get it right, and then I read it this morning, and I still found one mistake in it, and I'll point that out in a minute. But if you'd pull them out, you want to look at them, refer to them. The reason I did it this way is so you can take it home, and you can use these prayers. Why use these prayers? Well, let me start. Brown Bible, NIV. I'm transitioning. I have five Bibles. Four of them are New American Standard, and this one is NIV. Wasn't bad. It's fake leather. It only cost like $20. Not bad at all. So I'd like to start with the Lord's Prayer. Just briefly, you've had messages on the Lord's Prayer, so I'm not going to bore you. You know what it's all about, but I want you to notice the components. I'm looking at the one in Matthew chapter 6. Luke version is virtually exactly identical. Jesus said, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, holy or hallowed be your name." That's how it starts, honoring the Father. "Your kingdom come, your will be done." I don't know about you, but I'm praying that more and more every day as I watch what's happening in the world around me. I want God's kingdom to come, because it's not looking pretty otherwise, on earth as it is in heaven. "Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." I don't know how much you pay attention to news, but there are two events that happened this week, and no, I'm not referring to Biden and Kamala Harris. There are two events that happened this week that were direct shots over the bow of our Christian ship. And they're getting more and more direct. And I think that we need to be more and more in prayer and paying attention to our Christian lives. If you know, and we don't have time to go into this today, But if you're familiar with the scriptures, it says in the last days, people everywhere are going to turn on believers. Not pretty. Throughout the world, this is true. There are Christians who live in Muslim nations who are persecuted and martyred. We in the United States have been protected a little bit from that, but it appears now that it's getting more direct. And just a reminder, as we head toward what we believe, that Jesus is coming soon, a part of that is not good news. A part of that if Jesus is coming soon, then the tribulation time is being prepared. And as we read through the book of Revelation, we see that time of preparation, and it isn't going to be fun. Reminder of what Jesus said in his word, that we'll be betrayed even by our own brothers and sisters. Jesus was betrayed by the religious establishment. I think we really need to be in prayer and supporting one another. And this is where we're going today, supporting one another through prayer. My problem, introduction to this, is I've always had trouble praying for lots of people. And I do that every week. I pray for everyone that's on our list, not just people who come to church, but people that are friends of us who have contacted us or come to events or something. I've got a list. I'm sure it's not comprehensive, but it's as comprehensive as I know today. And the reason I have trouble praying for groups of people is I want to pray specifically for each person and what they need. But I don't know every person's needs. So I was studying to deliver a message on prayer, and God diverted me to what we're going to be looking at today, Paul's prayers. And what I found in Paul's prayers is something quite different from the way I have been praying. And so I submit them to you. These prayers are the Word of God from Paul's letters. I submit them to you in suggesting that perhaps you might want to pray and use these prayers as you pray for lots of people. I found that Paul didn't pray specifically for every individual, and that was kind of surprising to me. I still do that, and I think we should do that. But when you're praying for a lot of people, like everyone that's affiliated with our church, all the brothers and sisters who live in Virginia, who we don't even know, most of them, some of you know more of them than I do. If you're praying for brothers and sisters who are on the Iron Range, which I am, because God has given me a heart for the Iron Range, if you're praying for all believers in the United States, if you're praying for all believers throughout the world, these are prayers you can use, and I think you'll be surprised at how Paul prayed. Just a couple of notes. Paul was the only one in the New Testament who included prayers for believers in his letters. I don't know why that is. I don't know why John didn't. I don't know why Peter didn't. I don't know why James didn't. But Paul does. And I think you can get a little bit of his heart because of that. His heart was for the believers. Another note, he always, and there's my error, if you read that, a second dash under that introduction. Also note that Paul almost always cross out almost. I looked through the prayers this morning and I discovered he always includes a thank you of some kind. I thank God for these believers. I didn't start my prayers that way. Also note that when we pray, we should mention people by name. I believe that. That's not in Paul's prayers, but I think it's implied as he prays for the people in Corinth. He would probably say, I'm praying for the people in Corinth and this is my prayer. That's a suggestion. That's Mike's inference out of Paul's ministry. So if you'll notice, the first one, our Father God. Which God are we praying to? If I pray to God, remember, there are many gods out there. And so when I pray, I get specific. I want the powers in the heavens that are warring against our God and His Son. And I want my Father God and Jesus to know who I'm praying for. Now, we don't have time to go into all the names of God. I've mentioned before that when Moses asked him, the Father said, my name is Yahweh. Yah, I am. Way, I am that I am. And so Israel, or the Jews, Israel, put those two together, Yahweh. You'll also find all through the Old Testament, if you look in the Hebrew, that many times God is referred to as Yah, I am. And so when we get to the New Testament, we find Jesus referring to himself, I am, and it makes the religious people mad. And so if he was speaking in Hebrew, he would have said Yah. And that made them mad because that was a special name that Jews, Hebrews, Jews in Jesus' day, were forbidden to speak because it was so holy. They could not speak Yah, and they could not speak Yahweh, or they should not, I should say. Jesus made it really simple. In his prayer, he simply said, Our Father who is in heaven. Jesus transitioned all of that to say we have a relationship, and that relationship is with our Father God. And I've referred previously to how important that is to me, to have found a Father. And then he follows it with, we thank you for all believers. And like I say, that occurs in all the prayers, and we're going to get to one that's kind of challenging. We thank you for all believers that we bring to you in prayer, because there's always a because, except in one. There's always a reason that Paul gives why he is thanking God for believers. You'll also notice that with the exception of one prayer, he is always praying for believers. So I'd like you to look at the second one, which is 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4. A suggested prayer for any specific group of believers in need of comfort or strength. Those little things in parentheses, that's Mike's suggestion. That's not the word, that's just suggestion. So you can divert that and take it any which way that the Lord leads you. And so what I would like to do now is pray with you for those believers that we know of who are in need of comfort and strength. Would you pray with me? Our Father God, we thank you for these believers, Roger and Mark and John and Sarah, in their loss of Judy. Bernie, Elizabeth, and Jennifer, in their loss of Wayne. Brian and Julie, Aaron and Lucas, in their loss of Stephen. Those who are going through challenges, Linda and Steve, Sid and Darlene, Ed, Shirley's friend, Brad, and Randy and Jeannie Swenson. We praise you because you are their God and the Father of their Lord, Jesus Christ. You are the Father of compassion and God of all comfort to them. You comfort them in all their troubles so that they are able to comfort others who experience trials in the same way they have received comfort from you. Amen. Now, we prayed that for these folks, and I want you to notice in there a couple of things. One is Paul's prayers are fairly short and condensed. The second thing that I noticed is Paul doesn't pray about their issue. He focuses on the Father and praises the Father for what the Father has available to these people who are struggling. And in this particular case, Paul is praying for God's comfort so that these people can get through what they're going through and be able to comfort others who will be in need. And then I'd like you to turn to the last page, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 2 and verse 8. This is the challenging one. This is a suggested prayer for government leaders and or community service providers. In other words, people who may or may not be believers. How do we pray for people who are serving in our community, serving us, and for government officials that may not be believers? This is Paul's answer to that question, and it confronted me, to be honest with you, of how Paul prayed. But to let you know, Paul's prayer is consistent with the Old Testament. Joseph, living in a country alone with his faith, in a country and with leadership and under leadership that was not godly. Many other examples. Moses was the same way. Daniel was the same way. Our three Hebrew children, see if I can remember now, Mishael, Azariah, and Hananiah. We know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I use their Hebrew names because their Hebrew names are the ones that are written in heaven, not the Chaldean names that they were given, their nicknames, if you will. All living in totally heathen country, desperately hanging on to their faith and standing for God. And to be honest with you, it's beginning to feel like that for me. Not in rural Minnesota or rural America so much, because we're kind of insulated. But as I talk with believers in metropolitan areas, I find that they are really being challenged, and in many cases, their faith is slipping toward social convention. And I think you feel that pull like I do, and wondering how in the world can we hang on. In this particular prayer, he prays this way, and if you would pray with me. Our God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we offer this prayer, some requests and intercessions along with thanksgiving for our government leaders in authority over us and those in our communities who provide services to us and our neighbors. We request that you bring us quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and holiness under their service. We know that this is good and pleases you, God our Savior, because you want all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. We intercede on their behalf because our world needs to know that there is only one God and only one mediator between God and men, your Son, Christ Jesus. We lift our hands to offer this prayer without anger or contention. Amen. An astounding prayer. And if you'll use it, you'll probably struggle like I have, because there is enough junk out there, and there are samples in our government who are absolutely siding away from God. And that has really frustrated me how to pray for that. Paul gives us the answer to that. To thank God for our leadership, that's been tough for me. To thank God for our leadership and pray for them so that, did you catch that? So that we could live quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and holiness under their service. This week in the Mesabi Tribune, if you caught it, Pastor Mark Anderson, who is the pastor of evangelism and outreach from Chisholm Baptist Church, wrote on this particular issue. And I'd like to read a couple of segments from that article in the Mesabi Tribune. If you haven't noticed, the Chisholm Baptist Church is putting articles in, I think once a week, but very frequently, I think it's once a week on the weekend edition of the paper. I don't remember when it is, to be honest with you. But anyway, to watch for it. That's in there. And this is what Pastor Mark Anderson writes. The urgency is real. Speaking of prayer, and specifically for prayer for our government. The urgency is real, maybe now more than ever. We must pray. Pray for those in authority. Pray for those around you. Pray for ourselves. We all have a measure of pride. We need to ask God to bring us humility, patience, and love. Pray for ourselves and one another to stop arguing and give each other grace and mercy. Then peace and calmness will affect ourselves. Whole communities, our nation, our world, pray. Let us remember to take time to pause and pray for our nation and communities. The prayerful compassion we use to reach out to others will help calm the stormy seas around us. Amen, brother. So just a couple of closing remarks. I think we need to pray for our government and the folks who provide services. Whether or not they're Christians, Paul gives us a template for doing that. Even more importantly, to be honest with you, is we need to increase our prayer for one another. And Paul gives us several templates to do that. Read through them, pick out the ones that you want to use. You may end up just reading them, but let them connect with your heart so that that prayer comes from your heart as well. That's a little difficult for me to read and then connect, but try to do that. These are not rituals. These are not traditions that we're going to set up, because the word tells us there's real caution about traditions. No, use these from your heart. If you believe, as I do now, having studied Paul's prayers, that he's got something here that I didn't have hold of before. And so beginning of the services, you will note that I have now begun to use these prayers to start our worship services together. I submit that to you in the name of Jesus. I'd be happy for any responses that you have, how we might do this to honor our Father and His Son Jesus, because that's what it's all about. If you turn with me in your hymnal to 536, thanks to God whose word was spoken. If you would stand and let's sing the blessing to one another.